We're tracking the WGC down at the concession where O's former boy, Webb Simpson, is in the clubhouse at 6-under.
Dude, he's not my former. He's my current guy.
No, he can't be. Your current guy, Brooks Koepka, is in at 5-under.
Oh, so, okay, I'll take that. I don't care.
Exactly. Pick one or the other. You're in a good spot. My guys are brutal right now. So to chat a little bit about that, a little bit about Tiger. You know, there's not much more news about Tiger. We know, obviously, what he went through, and we're just hoping that he can get back to living a great life, and who knows about golf in the future. But also about the RBC Canadian Open and a lot of uncertainty hanging over this tournament, which is supposed to take place at St. George's here in Toronto in mid-June. And to chat about all of it, we're joined now by our TSN golf analyst and insider, Bob Weeks. What's your understanding on how this is going to play out? We see the Canadian Open in June, and we all know about what John Torrey announced yesterday and, you know, events all the way through July 1. It kind of feels like we might have an issue on our hands here.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I think it's kind of, I would put it down as pretty much done and done like a done dinner. It's the announcement from John Torrey had a little bit of effect to it, but not a ton. You know, the RBC Canadian Open is essentially a private event. It's going to be held on private grounds. There aren't going to be any fans there, even if it is held. So they can still go around with it. They need some help from the city, though, for, like, they want to close Islington Avenue or a good chunk of it to put the TV trucks in there. But the bigger problem is trying to get all the people across the border and not have to quarantine. And that's just basically proving impossible. They just have not found a way to get around that. They worked with Health Canada and trying to find some kind of protocol that would allow them maybe to skip that and just come in. I mean, the PGA Tour has been pretty good in terms of testing and cases. They've had very minimal cases compared to other sports. So, I mean, they've got that going for them. But I think optically, it doesn't look great if they kind of jump ahead of the protocols, especially when the premier lives about 2 kilometers from the golf course.
Bobby, we saw with the Raptors, Masai was making his rounds, kind of lobbying for the team to play in Toronto. Who is doing that for this tournament? Is it RBC? Is it St. George's? The tour? Like, who is doing the politicking here for this event?
It's mostly Golf Canada, and you know they've got some people helping them. RBC has got a loud voice in there. They're certainly talking with the tour. But it's mostly Golf Canada's baby, and they're trying to do the lobbying for this. And there's basically, from what I was told yesterday, basically they have to go through 3 levels. You know, if they get approval from Health Canada, say like the curling guys have out in the bubble in Calgary, then they can go to the immigration minister, and if he says okay, then they have to get approval from the prime minister. So they aren't even past the first stage here. And the big issue becomes you're starting to run out of time, right? I mean, it takes a while to put this thing together, and the PGA Tour doesn't want this to go, let's say, middle of May and all of a sudden pull the plug and then they've got nothing there. You know, they want to have a tournament that week, whether it's the Canadian Open or something else. So the time is definitely not on the side of the RBC Canadian Open.
So, Bob, I mean, the fear, I guess, would be, hey, if they can miss the Canadian Open 2 years in a row, maybe they can do without it beyond that. I mean, how real would that fear be in your mind that the PGA Tour might just look at this and say, you know, we can move on from Canada?
I don't think so. I mean, the Canadian Open's been around, you know, it's the third oldest tournament on the PGA Tour. And the fact that RBC, you know, cuts a big check, not only for the RBC Canadian Open, but also for the Heritage, they have a lot of leverage. They got a lot of power down in Ponte Vedra, where the PGA Tour is based. So, I mean, I think this is, I think it's a two-off, and hopefully by this time next year, if it doesn't get canceled this year, I hope by this time next year that everything's good and you can walk over to St. George's and watch it go. But I don't think there's any fear of that at this point anyway.
You know what bums me out about this, Bob, is that there appears to be a lot of sports and a lot of leagues that are taking advantage of no fans to try something different. This would have been the year to go to Cabot because, you can't get fans there for the most part. I don't know if they have the accommodations for all of the media and certainly not for all the fans. But this would have been the perfect year to if we could cross all the T's, dot all the I's, cut the red tape, this would have been the opportunity to get to Cabot.
Yeah, use both courses. You know, first play a couple rounds at each course. And then you're right, though, the accommodation's a little thin once you get outside of Cabot. I've stayed in a couple of places that were before Cabot had real accommodation, and I'm not sure you're going to get
Dustin tour Johnson players loving that.
Gotta, yeah, just stay in the Shady Mokes Hotel or something. We'll just have to see.
Is that a plan for the future, though? Do you think they can, at some point in the next decade, do you think Golf Canada can find a way to host the Canadian Open at Cabot Links?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I know Ben Cowan do very well. He's a good pal. He talked about maybe bringing a boat in, you know, and have everybody stay on the boat like a big
yacht or something.
Like a cruise ship, you know, park it outside and have everybody in there. But, you know, where are you going to sell the tickets? I mean, there's not many people live around Cabot, first of all. So I'm sure people would drive in from Halifax and do all that kind of crazy stuff. But you need a big market. And again, you go back to RBC, you know, they want it here in Toronto where they can entertain their clients and do their stuff. So I don't think it's going very far from the west end of Toronto for a while.
So, Bobby, big shock this week around the golf world to see Tiger and his accident. I don't think there's any real news coming out of there. But, you know, what are you hearing in terms of, you know, people around the golf world and the way they've reacted to Tiger's accident?
I think it's been pretty good. You know, I've talked to a number of tour players in the last couple of days. I've talked to some orthopedic surgeons about it. And, you know, everyone just wants him to recover. I think nobody's really worried about getting back to golf just yet. That's going to be down the road. And it sounds like from these orthopedic surgeons, it's going to be a while before he's even upright, walking on his legs. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now. He's the threat of infection because the bones went through the skin. The ankle, in terms of playing golf, one doctor told me that the ankle may be the biggest issue because that's, if you lose a lot of range of motion or balance or things in there, obviously that's going to affect golf. But I think everybody right now is just kind of glad that it wasn't anything more serious, that, you know, his kids are going to have a father and they're cheering this guy on. I mean, you look at the best players in the world right now, Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. Those guys all grew up idolizing Tiger Woods. He is their hero. So to see this happen to him is something, you know, they never wanted to see this kind of thing. And they're cheering for him. They want him to come back.
With Bob Weeks, I think it goes without saying that Tiger has been the most compelling player on tour for 20 years, both on the course and off the course over the past 10 or 15, in terms of just completely unpredictable and his personal life and everything that's come with that. Is there anyone that is a close second? Like, is there a second player over the past 20 years since you've been covering the tour that you can think of as, like, book material? I could sit down and write a book based on this player.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think Phil Mickelson has some interesting stuff going on around him, and he's kind of a different cat, but he's not quite the same way as Tiger. But he's got some good stories. I mean, I think one day Patrick Reed might make a good story,
yeah.
But there's a few more chapters yet to be written, I'm afraid, on that one. But Phil would be maybe the closest, and it would be a distant second right now in terms of on course stuff and the off course stuff, you know, going together to write a story. It just doesn't quite have as much cachet for me as Tiger does.
Yeah, there's no question about that. All right, Bob, great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Take care, guys.
There's Bob Weeks, our TSN Golf senior reporter and analyst, and he's fairly confident the Canadian Open will find its spot again back on the tour next year, and assuming we're out of this garbage next year, I mean, who knows, but
yeah.
And I guess it's going to stay in Toronto. I guess St. George's will likely host it again tomorrow next year, and that makes sense with RBC being here and the money that comes with it and the pampering.
Players like St. George's. It's a classic.
It's a great course. Yeah, and you stay in Toronto. I think they enjoy that as well. So, yeah, that's what it sounds like. We'll see where it goes. Ray Ferraro will join
us. Hayes. I like your Cabot idea, man.
I think it's something that would have to happen at some point. It just doesn't really seem reasonable in terms of accommodations, but the courses are just unbelievable.